package.
DJ P. Chris. Chris.
Okay, okay. DJ P. Chris with that Bodak Yellow. And this is like taking over like the whole summer. Like everybody's talking about Cardi B. Did you guys see Janet Jackson? You guys didn't see Janet Jackson?
No. So,
yeah. You saw?
Yes, Janet did a thing.
Oh my God. So in the middle of her, so Janet's back, guys. Okay. Yeah. Janet is 110% back in the middle of her show. She like broke it down.
She did Cardi B.
And put on Cardi B, Bodak Yellow, and was like, eh. And she was like, and she basically kind of implying that she's talking about her husband. You know what I mean? So she kind of went in.
Yeah. So now I'm really confused.
What are you confused about? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's introduce Elsa. Okay. Elsa.
Elsa M.
Elsa M.
Elsa M.
Yes. Hey, everybody.
Unwrapped.
Let me tell you why I'm confused.
Yes.
Is because I thought the reason I was not feeling this song is maybe just because I've gotten older. But Janet got at least a decade and a half on me. And she's feeling, so I don't know what it is, but it just does not, it doesn't move me like
so
that.
So you are not...
No,
a Cardi B fan or just not a
well,
fan of the song?
I don't know enough about Cardi B. I think she's a beautiful woman, but I don't know enough about her music. This was like the first song that I'm really hearing. Uh-huh. And I just can feel like my brain cells just dying a slow death as I'm listening
to
this.
You know what's funny? I felt the same way. When the song first came out, I remember saying to people, you will not dance to this. It's Cardi B. Yeah. But it's not the song. I like the song.
It's the beat.
It's her. It's when you know her personality and the all of that.
I don't have patience for that.
But I saw on Instagram the other day, there's this lady, I believe it was on Ball Alert. Don't quote me, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to find it. Uh-huh. And she broke it down and sung it in neo soul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the lyrics were so beautiful.
Yeah, she did. Let's give Hoots a shout out to us.
I need to hear all this. Now, I'm not saying I don't like Cardi B. Maybe I will hear something else that I'll be like, okay, now I understand. But this is not, I don't
Sasha, her name is Sasha. She sung it. She sung Cardi B's song. So you guys
okay,
got to go to the Ball Alert.
Maybe I'll listen to that and maybe I'll have a newfound appreciation.
Sasha, FII3HCE. So she's like a neo soul R&B singer. And she like sung it. Like
she broke it down.
She brought some soul to Cardi B.
Yeah.
But there's a whole article in New York Times how Bodak Yellow has taken over the summer.
I don't understand.
It really has,
any
though.
Of this. I'm confused.
And I do have to say,
maybe
I watched Love and Hip Hop some of those episodes.
Yes.
And, you know, I was like, oh my God. My mouth was open.
Yeah. She was a stripper, right?
Yeah, she was a stripper
in New
that's
York.
What she said. She was like, I don't got, you know, I make money moves.
Yeah. Oh, that's what she said.
Yeah. Oh
you
my
don't
gosh. But you know what's so crazy?
I make money moves.
I didn't realize. Oh.
Yes, even with the Janet Jackson transition, like, I think it was pretty dope because Janet Jackson, you know, put that on first and then she went into What Have You Done for Me Lately?
Yeah.
That was really dope. But Cardi B, I like her. She needs to tone it down just a tad bit since she's a little bit more into media.
That's who she is, just a little bit.
But you know what? I think the issue here is that she sounds like she's still trying to get used to her new teeth. She sounds like she hasn't adjusted to those teeth.
Yeah,
so
I think they're a little too big for her. But
maybe a little bit.
What did the old teeth look like?
I mean, there are a lot of people.
I don't watch Love and Hip Hop.
So have you ever watched the movie Jaws?
Yes.
I mean, just kind of reminds me of that shark. Just a little bit.
Got a bag and fix my teeth.
But she look good though.
because I remember when she, so Cardi B, if you don't know who Cardi B is, Cardi B is a character on Love and Hip Hop New York. She was a stripper and she got introduced to the show with about DJ from Hot 97.
Clue?
No.
What?
You are so old.
I know. DJ.
That's okay, Janine.
Of course,
so am
Michael
I.
Winner who. Anyway, so
that was a good guess. I just thought I was like,
on the tip of my tongue and I can't. Self. DJ Self.
Thank you. Yes.
Sorry. I had a blank. Yeah. So DJ Self introduced her to the show and she basically took over the show because her personality is that you know, she's infectious.
Yeah.
So she has her catchphrases.
She definitely does.
Like forever.
Like we have beef.
Maybe
we
I
have
should watch the show.
Ever.
Then I would have a new appreciation.
I'm with you, Elsa. I have no idea what they're talking about.
I watched it when it first came out.
And you're like the
And it was too much.
I feel more judged because we watch it sometimes.
No. You know what? I don't watch Love & Hip Hop just because I watch so many shows. But that's not to say that I'm above Love & Hip Hop. I would watch it. But at this point, I'm so far gone that I just can't catch up.
So I watched it when it first came out and was watching all the time. And then the same thing. I was like, why every week someone fighting or cussing somebody? I couldn't. I was like, and I was so engrossed that I was like, I have to be using this hour some other way.
You know ratings. What? I'm lying. I used to watch it when it was Emily B and
That's what I'm saying.
I watched that season and loved it. The original that season.
Poor Emily, man. I was like, that girl. You need to stand up for yourself, girl.
And Chrissy and Jim Jones.
Oh, yeah. And then they had their own show. I got broke back in when the Creep Squad.
Yeah, because they're hilarious. Like, they're mad old and talking about we're creeps. Like, no, you're beyond creeps. Like, you're angry grandpas. Can't. Like, I don't know.
But again, I'm not above it. I'm afraid that if I watch one more episode, it's gonna be the same thing. Like, when you wean yourself off of sugar and then you got that one cupcake and you right back in it, that's what's gonna happen.
I haven't watched it in a while, but I did watch Cardi B, and I did find her character extremely hilarious. And she, you know, she came from a really rough background, and she's like the only Love & Hip Hop star that's basically about to have a number one album. It's number two on the charts. Right. So she made a video.
She's voting not Taylor Swift.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So she made it. She was like, you know,
see,
she's
her just for that.
I mean,
she's really doing, you know, really on her grind and doing her thing. And of course, she's dating
Offset.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like their little couple thing, you know, hip hop couple. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's like this. Nicki Minaj just basically was the only female rapper that was out there. So now we have Cardi B, who is, you know, edging her way. Yep. And I don't think they're really friendly to each other, right?
I heard there was a beef, but then they keep denying.
I know. I just saw her on The Breakfast Club. Cardi B was on The Breakfast Club. And, you know, she kind of remained a little silent or neutral about she and Nicki. She was like, listen, I don't know Nicki, and she ain't screwed my man. So that's where she's kind of standing with
that.
I
didn't even know that was in the mix.
All right.
Well.
Like, huh? That's on the table.
I need to do some research.
Well, I said, you know, big up to Cardi B. Hopefully, she will be number one very, very soon. And as we speak, she probably could be etching up to number one as we speak.
She deserves it. Again.
I mean, it's a dance song. You know, it's not something. When I first heard, I was like, this is what music has come to. This is where we're at in life.
That's what I mean. I'm just saying.
This is where we're at in life. But, I mean, it's a dance song. You know, do I like Rake It Up better? Yes, I like Rake It Up better.
Of course.
But, you know, but Cardi B is, you know, it's amazing the amount of people, celebrities, that are showing her so much.
They really are.
Love.
They are. She deserves it. I think that Cardi B and Love & Hip Hop, I think that's the balance to our lives, right? Because we have to be so focused and serious all day long. We need a little bit of ratchet and reality, you know, TV every now and then.
Did y'all see it? Made in America, Beyonce and Cardi B had a whole little moment. Like, I thought that was so cute.
Yeah.
I said, if Beyonce likes her, then, you know, I got to bow down.
Right. the Beehive approval.
The Beehive approval. Well, yeah, I'm sure that Beyonce made do another Janji kind of, you know,
right?
I can see her doing that kind of stuff in her show as well. But the reason why we are here,
not about Cardi B,
I was like, is
not
Cardi
about
B
Cardi B, but I mean, she is making headways and doing a lot of dope things right now. And another dope person we have, I said, in the house is Elsa M.
Yeah, and sound like Cardi B. Elsa M.
Yeah,
we only need one last initial.
Yeah, that's it, right? Name and an initial. That's all it. You need. So, you know, if you guys listen to our live podcast that we did when we did our launch, this was the lovely woman who was the host of interviewing all of our great guests that were there for our launch.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, we really appreciate you for doing that.
It was a lot of fun. It was real hot, but it was worth it.
You know, you pulled the best out of those people. You did some amazing interviews.
Well, they made it easy. Like, you guys, just the party was great. The guests were great. They were really interesting. Sometimes you interview people and you're like, how am I going to make them interesting? But they just were. Yeah. So that was great.
And she is the new host of Midday Maryland, which is you can find on ABC2.
Yep.
So
please do.
Yeah. And
watch online as well.
You can watch online. Okay. So it's
ABC2news.com/MiddayMaryland.
Nice.
Watch all my segments.
And when did it first air?
Like on Monday.
Okay.
Monday was our first air date. Yeah. So we just got started. Let me just plug follow me at I am Elsa M on Instagram and Twitter, please.
Say that again.
I am Elsa M. Elsa, yes, like Frozen. Let it go. I hear that. I am Elsa M. And then also on Facebook, you can like that page as well. But
so you're excited.
I'm really excited.
And you know, when I met Elsa, okay, so let's take it back.
Many moons ago,
I met Elsa and we were at a fashion show.
Was this in Maryland?
Yeah. This was in Maryland, I think.
Shortly after I moved down here, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Tell me the story.
Yeah. We were at a fashion show. You know, it was like Fashion Night Out or one of those things. Remember?
It's coming back to you. Wear It Out Wednesdays.
Yes. Wear It Out Wednesdays. That's where it was. We were in Baltimore at the Power Plant. Was it Rooftop?
No, it was a rooftop at a hotel, wasn't it?
No.
At the Inner Harbor.
No, it wasn't that one.
Empress, where were we?
Well, you tell the story because I don't remember.
I believe that we were at the one that was at Power Plant Live. Power Plant Live, and they had it at the Power Plant. Do you remember that one?
Yes, at MAP.
Yeah, at MAP. Yes.
Okay, yes, carry on. You're
okay,
right.
Yes. Okay, so we were there, and I was like, who is this dope little chick? We're running around. Right? She was working with, for Yelp, mm-hmm. Marilyn, and I was just like, who is this girl? I've never seen her before. I gotta recruit her.
And she did.
And I was like, she did. I like to collect dope people. You know, that's just kind of what I like to do.
I like to be collected.
So I was like, you know, hey, what's your name? And we exchanged information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our relationship blossomed from there.
Yes. Both with radio backgrounds. So that was easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we just started talking. We had a lot of things in common. Yep. She worked in radio at one point. I, you know, used to be on Power 99. I'm sorry. No, I did not Power 92Q. I used to be the morning show producer for Power 99 mm-hmm. and the morning show producer for 92Q and on air 92Q in Baltimore. And we just, you know, we just hit it off.
Yep.
And she was working as she was tell your whole position.
So at that time, I was a senior community director and marketing director for Yelp. So, you know, that app on your cell phones. And so I launched it for the company here in the Baltimore area. So mm-hmm. I basically, everything between D.C. and Delaware was mine. So meeting with business owners, teaching them how to use the app, planning events, being their spokesperson. And it was a good time to get in because the app was new, you know? So I got in like before became public.
And Yelp is everywhere
options,
now.
Right?
Okay, yeah. Good.
What? Good. Yeah. So I got in at a good time. But my background before then, like I said, I did morning radio at WDKX in Rochester, New York. 35 years now, black owned and operated, family owned and operated.
Nice. Uh-huh.
But that I sort of fell into because I started out in TV. So I was a TV reporter, radio host, also in Rochester, New York. I started out at Our News, which was like the CNN affiliate, essentially, 24-hour cable. That was right out of school. Went to school at University of Wisconsin-Madison and got that job in Rochester a month before I graduated. So I was like, whoever pays me, I'll be there.
So that was your major was
it was journalism.
Okay.
Yep, journalism, and I double majored in political science as well, which sort of happened by accident, just because
I did too.
Yeah, all my classes sort of cross listed, and major. I remember asking. I'm super type A and like super over. I've always been. It's not something to brag about. It's sort of a problem actually. I can't like calm down. But I remember talking to my advisor. You know, they make you meet with them and they said, oh, well, you've already got the minor of political science. So I was like, I do? And I was like, well, what do I need to do to get the major? They were like 12 more credits. So I was like, well, then let's get that. Yeah, so I just did like a semester, got that. Don't ask me anything about political science now. I don't really know, but I got the major. And so went out to Rochester, New York, was doing reporting up there. And then got a job. I started freelancing with that radio station. Mm-hmm. Got a job in Louisville, Kentucky. I had to practice that one. And I was working for the Fox affiliate. And then I woke up one day and I realized I was in Kentucky. And I said, no. And it just so happens that my program director at WDKX, who I became friends with, I never thought I'd work with him again. So we would just talk. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. He was my boss then, but when I left, he was my friend. So I talked to him about everything, all the guys I was dating, these crazy chicks, anything that was happening. I would just like talk to him about. And then finally says, like, you know, the morning show host left, and we want you to come in and take the job. But I was like, lines have been crossed now. Like, you know too much about me. He's like, just come up here and take the job. Yeah. And so I came up and take the job, and it was the best decision I ever made.
So which city was this?
Back in Rochester. It was funny because I was like, I can't go back to my old market to do TV. Anyone that works in TV news, you go up in markets. You don't go back.
So, okay. Let's
take a breath.
Let's take a breath, right? So I started in television as well, mm-hmm. right? I was a political science major, but then I went to Hampton, but then I finished up at Stony Brook, and that's where it kind mm-hmm. of set me on a path of production.
Yes.
So what people don't, when you are trying to be a television broadcaster mm-hmm. or some force, sometimes you start in these small markets.
Yes.
Most yes. of the time.
Right?
It's very rare.
Yeah.
It's
I was very lucky to start in Rochester.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you start in these small markets
yep.
and you kind of work your way up
yes.
to the bigger market.
Right.
So,
New York,
you know,
LA,
you know, it's really hard sometimes to have relationships.
Yeah.
Right?
Because you're bouncing around.
Because you're bouncing around.
Or
you're right?
in Podunk Town and ain't nobody there.
Yeah. yeah. You know, it's hard to have, you know, children. yeah. So usually sometimes, you know, start when you're really young
yeah.
and you're able to start in these little small markets and work your way up. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, I worked at Fox Philadelphia before I went to Power 99 mm-hmm. and I was a production assistant and then eventually moved up to
That's a
segment.
Large market too.
Yes. It was a large market, but I was a production assistant.
Okay.
Right? I was just a production assistant, and then I started segment producing. My path kind of jumped, you know, mm-hmm. I started in a really big market, and I went to a lower market, Baltimore. But mm-hmm. I started in a big market with Fox, Philadelphia. Then I started segment producing, mm-hmm. and then I got into radio from there because I was frustrated. Because, you know, mm-hmm. you're in those markets, right? So yeah. you get frustrated because yeah. those people stay in those jobs.
They don't leave.
Forever, yeah, like Cardi B.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they
they
don't leave.
Do not mm-hmm. leave. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're like, you know, you're up, you know, coming, yep. and you want to do this, you want to do that, and those people are sitting there like, right. I've been here.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Right. And then
I'm
there's so much politics
that,
around
but...
it. Like, we can't kind of push you out because you know this person and everything. Yeah, yeah. They don't understand.
No. Yeah. Once
doors.
You got that spot, mm-hmm. That's what it is. And so I'll tell you, that's sort of what happened with hosting. Mm-hmm. So. When I came back to Rochester to do that morning show, that was a crossroads because I said, look, I can't go back to my old market to do radio. If I do that, I have to do TV too. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I would wake up. This is what happens when you're single. You can just do all this. You don't have to take care of anybody, nothing. Mm-hmm. So I would wake mm-hmm. up at 4 a.m. I'd go to the radio station, work there from 5 to 10, drive from radio to TV, be live for 5 and 6, hope that there's no breaking news, because if there's breaking news, my ass is staying there till 8. I can cuss, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So then I'm staying there till whatever, 8, 9, 10, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
you
do
sleep.
It all the next Indo day
again.
Until, mm-hmm. you know, or try to work out. I had to join a 24-hour gym, so then I'm working out at like 3 a.m. because when else are you going to do it? But I loved it because that's, you live, breathe, mm-hmm. all of that. But there was somewhere in there that when I would be driving from radio to TV, I loved, loved, loved radio. Loved it. Because I could just be myself. Mm-hmm. We could just talk. My callers were awesome. My co-host was awesome. My program director, like my boss was my friend, you know? And they became like my family because I was away.
Mm-hmm. How old were you at this time? Is that a curiosity?
So when I started out, I started right out of school. So 22, then I left, came back. So when I came back to the station, I was like 24, 25.
Okay.
That sounds about right. Don't make me do math. But mm-hmm. in that era. And
question, because another thing that happens when, you know, especially being African-American woman and so mm-hmm. forth. So right now you wear your hair natural. Were you wearing
yes.
your hair natural when you were on television?
So this all ties in.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
So when I was driving from radio to TV, I was saying that I felt like myself on radio.
Mm-hmm.
When I felt like myself on radio, I could not be myself in any other capacity, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when I would go into TV news, when I first started, my hair was relaxed. I was 26 when I went natural. I was on the radio. And remember, I worked for the black owned and operated mm-hmm. station. And I was like, I'm going natural. Now, to do that on air at that time, normally you're supposed to get permission. But I leveraged that because I knew that if they said anything crazy to me, I could be on the mic the next morning talking about, oh, you know what this station said? They said I shouldn't go natural. And then they would blow up. I knew that everyone would call. They'd call my station. So they didn't say anything. I had my, you remember Rihanna when she had her hair cut low in the back and it was like sort of long in the front? Mm-hmm. So I had that look for like 2 weeks and then decided, no, I'm going natural. So I don't know how I was going to do it. So I just did like a straw set for a little bit. And then, yeah, I went natural on the air in 2006 and I've not changed it since.
Okay. So did your viewers write you, say anything to you about it? Because sometimes they have a lot of opinions, you know?
No, not there, because I think I was established.
Okay.
It wasn't like they didn't know me.
Okay.
And my news director was actually awesome about it. He was just like, so we're just going to change our hair. I was like, mm-hmm. He's like, okay.
Yeah, but I that, think that's it was rare. Because, that, you know, that
but
doesn't
I think
happen.
It's because I had the leverage of the radio station. Mm-hmm. And I think I had the name there. I'd already worked in the market, so I could do it. But me being right out of school trying to get a job, I don't know if that would have happened.
Mm-hmm. I find this story very reminiscent of my my old life. Mm-hmm. So I went to Hampton. Mm-hmm. I went there for broadcast journalism, and I minored in poli sci, like we talked about. But we were required to do an internship, right?
Yeah.
So the internship I didn't do until my senior year, and I did it with Fox and ABC, I believe. We did both there. And it was the hardest internship I had ever had. And it was at that moment I decided I didn't want to do TV anymore. And part of the reason was because it was so strategic, everything, you know. I had to take all these classes about how to speak, and my hair had to be a certain way, and I had to wear makeup a certain way. And then if I did something wrong on air, we would be in a meeting for 3 hours talking about, no, you shouldn't have moved your hair. It was a very tenuous situation. And then it was always breaking news for some reason. I mean, we were in Virginia.
Breaking news is real.
I remember at one point they had me chasing a man that escaped from jail through the woods. I'm like, I'm just the intern here, guys.
No, all the more reason.
But
all the more reason we're going to make the intern do it.
I remember graduating and saying, this is not for me.
Yeah,
but I really have an appreciation for the people that actually do it. And for me, I had an in because my cousin was the head anchor there. So if I wanted it, job is yours. You graduate, you come. And I was like, I can't do it.
But what you're saying is what I had to realize about news as well, because really, I always wanted to be a host. I always wanted to do TV hosting. But this seemed, I think I talk myself out of things sometimes because I am very analytical. I'm very type A. And sometimes I just go in the direction that makes sense. So I'm like, I like to talk. I'm good at writing. I know I can do this. Then I get that job, you know, right before I graduated, like a month before I graduated, and people are looking for years. So I was like, okay, it's meant to be. And then I got a Murrow right away, like 2 years in. I was like, and people work their whole lives and don't get one. So I was like, okay, I'm doing this. Then a couple years later, it's like Emmy nominated special that I wasn't even supposed to be hosting that one. And so I, because it was someone else's, it was on the public television in Rochester. And they just asked me to like work with the typical or the usual host. And then all of a sudden that's Emmy nominated. So things kept happening that were sort of co-signing the path I was on. But really in my heart of hearts, I knew there's got to be something else, because in radio really, really awakened that. So you can be in it and people not really understand it. And I remember when I left, because my husband and I were dating long distance. He lived down here. I was in Rochester. And I remember when he proposed, I was like, I can do something else now in a different area where people don't know me and they're not going to ask me like, oh, what happened to Elsa? Or I used Liz back then. What happened to Liz? And, you know, I just remember thinking that it was like a freedom, but still wanting to host, you know? So hosting jobs, like you just said, they don't come up. And I'm on the East Coast. It's not like I was in LA where, you know, there's all these different shows and all these different. I was like, they just don't come up. So that's why I started working with Yelp. I got into PR, then marketing. And Yelp was great. It was a great run. But when this job came up, I was like, there it is.
Can we talk about that? Because I remember at our launch, for those of you that were there, we played a documentary. And in the documentary, I expressed certain things and how I felt like God ordained certain things in my life and set a certain path. And I never had intentions of doing any of this, of doing, you know, the podcast with Sanjay or doing an online magazine, like none of it. And it was like God puts you in these positions where it's kind of like he forces you to do it and your back's against the wall. And so after the documentary aired, Elsa comes to me and she pulls me to the side and she's like, oh, my God, I can totally relate to what you just said.
Yeah, because all of that was, you know, it wasn't me planning it. Like I, at the time, you know, I haven't really told many people about this, but I was trying to become a kidney donor for a friend of mine. And I was supposed to be donating. And then it turned out that it was like 5 days before the surgery. And they said that my blood pressure was elevated. And because my family has a history of it, my mom has a history of it, they were like, we can't do the surgery. So I was heartbroken. But up until that moment, I had been training like a fiend. Like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. Mm-hmm. So I was working for Yelp and working out whatever, 2-3 times a day. I'm already on a plant-based diet and I lost like probably 25 pounds. I've been able to keep it off, thank God. But like really the most fit that I've ever been. So as I'm getting ready for this, and we were talking about how God just works, here I am trying to do this thing for my friend, you know, which is a selfless act, but it's sort of selfish because it's my girl. Like, I want her to be good, you know, so there is that selfishness, but selfless, none, you know, so to speak. And I felt like God was getting me camera ready even in the middle of that without me knowing, because I was not. I didn't know that this was coming up at all. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you know, that there was going to be a hosting position that was going to be right on the horizon. And then that came up. And then so I got it.
So you have to tell us, okay, so you're in Rochester and you meet the man of your dreams.
I actually met him at the Kentucky Derby.
You met him at the Kentucky Derby.
So random, yes.
And, you know, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to move to Maryland, right? This, you know, another area you're just unfamiliar with.
I do know the area. Okay. My mom's cowcousin lived in Bowie, in Mitchellville.
Okay.
And so we would come out here maybe once every year, once every 2 years when I was growing up. And then, you know, so I'm Ethiopian too.
Slightly familiar, okay.
So, and my dad's brother is in Silver Spring. Ethiopians are all up in D.C.
All everywhere.
It's little Ethiopia. So I would come here. I mean, I came here enough to not be, but I was ready to. I had said when I leave, because I had to get out of Wisconsin. I knew that. I was like, I'll live in New York. I'll live in D.C. or Chicago. Okay. I thought it would be Chicago because I was close to home.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he made it easy. He was here. So I was like, okay.
Okay. So you came here without a job or you came here?
That's another thing about God. Okay. So he proposed in March and I said, okay, if I don't have a job by August, I'm just going to move. But I'm not that type of person. Like, I need a job. And God gave me a job in July. I had packed up. I started moving all my stuff down. Like, I mean, there have been moments where I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm just going to pray on it.
Leap of faith.
And then it's going to, so.
Well, let's rewind. Yes. So you had a long-distance relationship. How did that happen?
I did.
Like, when did you, like, how long were you guys in this relationship? And how did you make it work?
Yeah, y'all are gonna trip on this one. So we met in May 2008, and when we met, it was at one of the celebrity parties. So my husband was Tank's manager at the time.
Tank the singer.
Yes, and so his
little known facts about Elsa.
Yes, he was a romance. So my husband used to be a record label rep, and so after he got out of the business, he started just randomly, you know, managing different people or road managing or what have you. So at that time, I knew Tank because I had hosted some of his concerts in Rochester. And so at this party, I see Tank. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, same thing you're doing at a party. And he says, he's like, you know, come on back. Are you in VIP? I said, no. So my husband's already in VIP. And of course, he's trying to make sure his artist is okay. So he sees me going in VIP with Tank. So he looks up and he's like, oh, Tank got a chick with him. I'm like, yeah, it ain't like that. But he doesn't say that. But he's trying to really make sure that I'm okay.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say is that my husband, who I don't know is going to be my husband, but my husband and I are talking and we are mutually dismissive of each other, like not on each other's radar at all. Because for me, I'm like, it's a celebrity party. I know what all these guys want. So I'm not listening to anybody. Like I was that chick, like whatever. Don't even get me a drink. I got my own. He was just like, let me make sure that she's good, because if she's good with my artist, then I want to make sure that she's okay. So we exchanged information literally only because he said that he had business dealings with WDKX, my station. So that was May 2008. We didn't talk at all. He came up with Noel Gordin, another guy that he was not managing but working with, and in August 2008. And this time, the first time I met him, he had a hat. And when he came up this time, the concert was outdoors. And I remember he got out the van and he smiled this big smile, and he had a mohawk before all the brothers were wearing the mohawk. It was like the first time I had seen it, right? Yeah, and then it got played like you see 5-year-olds and 50-year-olds, everyone's right. But it was one of the first times I saw it. I was like, who is this brother with the mohawk and these pearly whites? Like, who is this? I was like, oh, snap, I know, dude. Okay, I wasn't paying attention that night. And so that's I could give you the long story, but I won't because I'm talking a lot. But we exchanged information. We started dating long distance. Pretty quickly, he got stranded in. So I lived in Rochester, but he flew in and out of Buffalo for some reason. And what is cheaper? And so like an hour drive. And so he said we had gone out that night. It was supposed to be the whole band, but they didn't go out. And it ended up being me and him to eat. And then we caught up with them at a club later. And but we are late. And this is so I didn't know that I liked him. Like I was treating him like my guys. Right. So the club owner comes over and he has like all these drinks like Hennessy and just a whole pile of drinks. And I'm from Wisconsin. I mean, we drink. Right. So the lights come on and they like, you know, it's about to be our last call. And I looked, I was like, yo, we still got a lot of Hennessy. Drink up. So it was so bad. I would have never done that if I knew I was going to date him. But I say all that to say is that he had to be on a very early flight out of Buffalo. So I said, I'll give you a call. I wake up early in the morning. He didn't think that I would, but I did. And then I went back to sleep. I'm not thinking about him. Now I'm thinking he flew back. He calls me up like 2 hours later, he says that for some reason, the airline booked him one way twice. So they booked him Baltimore to Buffalo and then Baltimore to Buffalo again instead of a round trip. So he was stuck. So uh-huh. It was so odd. But again, I feel like that stuff is God. And I was mm-hmm. like,
yes.
Okay, well, you know, my yoga instructor, she just moved to Korea to teach English. And this is the first weekend that I don't have her. And I'm really upset. But I guess I can go to the Galleria if you pay for my gas. That's who I was.
Oh. If you pay for my gas.
So wrong. Gas prices had really hit a high, you guys. I was a poor reporter. And so he's like, yeah, I got your gas. And we came up and we just talked and talked and talked. And so I remember at the end of that, and I'll get to the end of my story, was that I told him, we went to a movie and we had eaten and it was good. And I was like, God, I like him. And I just said, you know, okay, well, next time you come back up for business, you know, we should hang out. He goes, why do we have to wait for the next time for business? I'll come up and see you. I was like, this Negro ain't coming up. This ain't me. No, Rochester. Who comes to Rochester? Okay. And sure enough, he did. He came up the next month. Oh. We had our first date at Niagara Falls.
Oh, nice.
And I was so nervous. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is our first date. And
we have to be in a hotel. Like him. Now right, you like him. Right? Now the pressure's
like,
on.
It's your first date. And it's like you're going away together on a first date. So, yeah. But I was like, God, you know, how's it going to be? He had two beds and he was like, I don't want you to feel any sort of pressure. This is a first date. Like, I know the circumstances are weird because we're mm-hmm. long distance, but, you know, like it ain't that type of party. And it wasn't. And we dated long distance for a year and a half until he proposed. Mm-hmm. And then I moved down here for a year and then we got married. But in that, I will tell you, and this is where I was like, y'all going to trip. No sex.
Okay.
At all.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not Janine's story.
Yeah.
It's so funny. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like,
Janine alone, y'all.
I just wanted to mess with
her. No, y'all are so. But see, it was weird how that happened, even because I remember after that date in Niagara Falls, so he's about to get on the plane. But we're in the car and we're talking and he says, you know, I always thought that when I met the woman I was going to marry, that from the time that I proposed to the time we got married, that we wouldn't have sex. And I'm like, okay, why is he telling me this? It was like a first date. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why he's saying mm-hmm. that. And he goes, what do you think if for us dating, like we don't have sex?
Okay, wait, hold on.
So this was planned.
Yes. What? You don't fall into that. You got to know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the first time you had sex was on your wedding night?
Yes.
Oh. How did you know if it was going to be good or not?
Let me tell you.
Hello.
I will tell you. So he said that, and the guy that I had dated, no, but I'll tell you. So for him, it was just one of those things like, I've done things the wrong way for a long time because he's mm-hmm. older than me. And he's like, I might as well
he's
try something new.
He's 9 years older than you.
He's 9 years older than me. He's like, I might as well try something new. Like, I already know what that is. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a virgin. I'm not saying that I am, but you know. For me, the guy I had dated before him, who was literally everything you say you want, everything on paper, mm-hmm. had cheated on me and proposed to another chick. So I was like, and I found out in the most devastating way. So
proposed
I just
to another chick while y'all were together?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah. So that sucked.
Yeah.
That was not a fun time at all. And I remember I was devastated and I said, you know what? The next guy that I dated, I didn't date for like a year because I was just done. I was like, F all these dudes. I can't stand them. But after that, I was like, the next time that I date somebody, they're going to wait a long time. But I thought a long time was like,
like 3 months.
6-7 months. You know what I mean? Like half a year. Yeah. Like that's going to be forever. But when he said it, I didn't have, and again, this has to be God too, because I didn't have a good reason to tell him no.
Yeah.
And it was coming from him, and the guy never says that. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see. So that was September. October he comes up, and I will say that, you know, I did cop a little feel because I wanted to know what I was waiting for. Let's be real. You know, like, you don't want to get to the wedding night and just be like, yeah. So I copped a little feel, and once I realized, I was like, oh, it's worth the wait. And then we actually did wait. I mean, it was hard, but I do think we saw each other every 2 to 3 weeks.
So there was no sexual anything?
No. I mean, the heavy petting, way making okay. out.
Yeah.
But, like, no.
And then once it was like, no.
No, we didn't.
Nothing.
We didn't. I'm
no
telling
one
you.
Came to a
no.
within
like,
this.
Sandra, I mean, details, I like, so really.
What's going
like,
on?
Like, how
no,
do you
because
do this?
That's the thing okay. is that if we did that, we would not stop.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. not because we didn't want to.
Okay.
But it was like, if you do all that, you might as well just go for the whole shebang.
Right,
and
exactly.
for that, it was, and by, you know, it was just like, for what?
This is a beautiful love story.
But I'll tell you, but our communication now, and again, I'm not preaching to anybody else. I'm just saying what works for us, because we could never fight and then do that makeup sex thing. Like, we just couldn't. So we had to talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and he's a talker too. Like, obviously everyone knows I'm a talker now on this podcast, but we had to talk it out. And I feel like I'm still, we're the obnoxious couple, you know, like we try not to be, but we really like each other. And, you know, like we really talk a lot. Like right now he's in Pittsburgh for the day. Sorry if there's any Ravens fans, I'm sure you're listening, but he's a Steelers fan and he's there for the day. And he had told me to come up and I was like, no, I'm doing this podcast and I'm a little sick. I can't do it. But when he left, I was like, yeah, I sort of miss you. The baby's not here and we could have hung out. Like, we just, we like each other, you know, mm-hmm. we have to talk. So anyway, but that's the story with him. But I mean, we making up for it now. I, like, that was a long time.
So, okay. So you packed up your stuff, moved yep. here a year later, no yep. sex, got married.
Yes.
Great sex.
Yeah.
And then you're working at,
yes.
as, the, you know, now you put into this position,
yes.
working as the director. And you said you were basically training for this other situation.
But
health
mm-hmm.
health situation you didn't know. And then
yes.
how, so were you, did you just leave media all alone like the whole time?
No.
You were as a director of,
so when
know?
I yeah when I came down here I was like, I didn't know, I had tried to, this again, God closing doors. So I knew I didn't want to do TV news, but I also knew that that's what I knew how to do. So I was pursuing, you know, different opportunities and had a couple bites. I met with a couple stations in Baltimore and I didn't meet with anyone in D.C., but I was hoping to. And but it just wasn't happening. And I was like, well, I don't know what's happening. You know, my stuff is good. And I don't know what it is. So those doors were closed. And so I was like, OK, I've got to do something. And a friend of mine, Jeff Johnson, he's on BET now. He's on MSNBC at the time. He said, you know what? I want to do this podcast and web show on Bliss in D.C. because they were just getting started. And so he said he wanted to do that. And he's like, I want you to be my co-host. I'm like, bet, Jeff. I mean, you might do, but you got a name that's going to elevate. Liz, I'm going to milk you for everything. You know, and I just say it. He's like, you're crazy. Come on, let's do this. And so we did it, and it was good. It was right before Raheem Devon's show was right after ours. So it was sort of like a good segue in. And we did that for a little over a year and a half. And then I got pregnant. I remember I was just tired because I was doing all the stuff with Yelp. And then it was Sundays, and I was like, yo, I just got to sleep. And he was traveling a lot. So we tabled it for a little bit, but I remember that was very empowering because it was the first time that was content creation and of my own accord, and I was branding it the way that I wanted to. And again, I had a mic again. So I was like, you give me a mic. I mean, obviously, I'm going to talk. So I did that, and then I started a blog. The blog is recent, about a year ago, the Grey Day blog, in part because I needed more positive news. Mm-hmm. So the Grey Day blog, it's a little touchy-feely, but I don't care. I'm a big sap sometimes, you know? So, like, if you're feeling down, you know, going that, and I've had seasonal depression before, mm-hmm. especially living in Rochester, and I was like, you know what? You can make every day great. There's something good about every day. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted that blog to be it. I need to update it a little bit, but the stuff on there is good stuff. So those two things help bridge that gap so that when I came ready to apply for the Midday Maryland.
So where were you looking for to apply? Like, so if someone is in your position, you know, trying to get into TV,
yeah.
I mean, where are these jobs? Where do you find these jobs?
I found this one on LinkedIn.
Just on LinkedIn.
Just on LinkedIn. Wow. I had actually found a job similar to this in DC and had applied to it and didn't hear anything back. And granted, it was 24 hours, but I wanted to hear back right away. Right. And I didn't hear anything back. And I said, well, you know what? I probably need an agent. I've been out of the business for, you know, working full time for 7 years. Let me reach out to an agent. And again, I felt like it was divine that it was like, look in Baltimore. And I'm thinking, I'm not looking in Baltimore. I already know they don't have a show like this. Like, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? But I, you know, searched on LinkedIn and, you know, I reached out to two agents at the time at the exact same time and then looked and saw what was in Baltimore. This position, saying that they were launching this show, had just been posted 5 days before. Literally 5 days before. So I'm like, okay, I should apply to this. Wait a minute. It says I have a mutual connection that works there. And so I reached out. It turns out that there was a woman that worked in the sales department at one of my old stations in Rochester that worked in sales here. Wow,
definitely. That is so random.
And this
Rochester and Baltimore, like,
that's
so random. Okay, yeah.
And the show is actually, it's not on the news side. It's on the sales side. So she's like, you'd be perfect for it. I know the hiring manager. I'll walk your stuff right in. I'm like, bet. And sure enough, it all happened.
Everything just came together.
That's what I mean. Like, what's for you is for you. I was mm-hmm. pushing to do this and pushing to go here and trying to do that. And then it was like, I almost gave up. You know, I was like, you know what? I'm getting older. I'm 36 now. It's not going to happen. And I'm not in LA and, you know, in Baltimore. And there's no opportunities here. And then God was like, oh, let me create this for you. Let me get you camera ready. Let me do this. Let me, you know, get you on a plant-based diet. Let me do this. Was not my doing. This is like a full life transformation is what I'm trying to say in a calendar year.
I just want to say that I really appreciate your transparency right now, because we talked about in a previous podcast that for some reason we live in this microwave world. And because of Instagram and Facebook and all of the social media, people only see the success. Right. And so they think that it's supposed to be instant. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to graduate from college or not go to college, just have a talent mm-hmm. and instantly you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. And I was having a conversation a few days ago with someone that I know, and they're a lot younger than me. And they were saying that they never want to work a full-time job again. They never want to have a real schedule and real hours. And I said, well, that's unrealistic for your age. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, no, it's not unrealistic. You know, this is 2017. It doesn't work that way anymore. I said, no, sweetheart. You know, the only reason why I have work ethic is because I work those 9 to 5. That's how you learn the structure. Yeah. And, you know, and it's a learning process. When they say trust the process and you have to climb the corporate ladder, that's real. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't just, I'm not saying people don't, but in most cases, you don't just wake up and you're an instant success.
Yeah. It's a very rare situation. And I do think that there's some validity. I had an assistant who was sort of that way. Like, she very good on social media. Like, she's a brilliant, brilliant young lady. And she just graduated. And it was sort of the same thing. She was like, I don't know if I really want to go into an office. I have my blog. I can do things remotely. And I was for that, honestly. I was like, you know what? It is a different time. It is a different age. Milk it and see. And then next thing I know, she's at a 9 to 5 now. And I said, what made you do it? She's like, honestly, I just wanted the money in to try it out. I was like, that's what this time is. It's like, mm-hmm. you're in your 20s. You try it out. And honestly, I'm learning in my 30s and hopefully in my 40s and in my 50s. Like, you're always trying to learn. You're always mm-hmm. trying to do something else instead of just being like, this is what I know and this is what I'm doing. Like, especially as a wife and mom now, I feel like that is just so boring. And I refuse to be mediocre. And mediocre is not like saying, mediocre is just when you don't challenge yourself. That's mm-hmm. the way I interpret mediocre. And it could be challenging yourself to do whatever. It could be I want to challenge myself to have the best yard in the neighborhood. If you're a stay-at-home mom, that's fine. But challenge yourself. Find something that, like, makes you excited to do something else, you know,
absolutely.
New.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Speaking of your daughter, for those of you who don't know, Elsa was our WCW last week on TP the
Meg.
Our WCW is different. It's Women Crushing It in the Workplace Wednesdays. Try to feature women that are doing things. But one of the things that Elsa touched on was how she is able to balance having a really busy career, but still be a mom and make time for her husband as well. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that it's kind of easy for you because your husband gets you, right?
Yeah.
And he sees when you're becoming overwhelmed and he swoops and he's like, Elsa, no.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, I think because he's scared. He knows that if I get overwhelmed, I'm just all bad for him. So he's like, let's just nip that in the bud before she gets there. But no, we are very, like I said, communication for us is not a problem because we talk, you know, and we have no one's afraid of like, how do I talk to him? Or mm-hmm. how do I talk to her? It's like, no, I'm just going to tell her what's up. You know, like if it's bothering him, he's going to tell me. So that's helpful. But yeah, we are very much so a team. He can see it. And if he doesn't see it, I can tell him without feeling like he's going to, you know, take it some sort of way. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I know my own personal limits. So my own personal limits says one kid, you know, and for one kid and one husband and one job, I feel like I can balance everything out. Now, sometimes there's about two jobs, but I mean, I feel like I can balance it all out. But I have no problem, and I don't feel like a failure when I say that that's enough. And I feel like sometimes we do as women because we feel like we always have to be doing more. Mm-hmm. I had to really learn to like scale that back, you mm-hmm. know? And then people would approach me with different opportunities and I would always be the one that's like, yeah, okay, we're gonna do this. Or I got this side business here and I got this hustle here and I'm gonna do this and this and this. And then I'd be depleted. And then I was like, oh, that's because, you know, I have one husband, one child, but I got 50,000 jobs. So maybe let's scale that back to, you know, I don't know, two. Mm-hmm. And when I figured that out, that scaling back wasn't a sign of weakness or failure or whatever, then things got a little bit better. But it took me a long time I don't have this all down. I just figured it out about a year and a half ago.
So now you're back on TV with a 7-year hiatus.
I know.
Right? And right? I said I've been off the radio for 8 years. So this is kind of like, you know, the airways, you know what I mean? So now we're like back in a different kind of realm, a different kind of realm for you.
Yeah.
What are the changes? Like what changes do you see and you see yourself? You know, if you think it's still
the same?
It's like
riding a bike. It's like riding a bike. I mean, it's cool now because it's my own show. And this is why I know it's of God. I mean, 7 years out of the business and then you get your own show in a market bigger than you've ever been in. Like I didn't do that. God did that. So that, and I feel like I'm ready. When I got in front
she
of
ready.
That camera, when I got in front of that camera, it was not an issue. It wasn't an issue. It was just like, it felt good. It felt really good. It's still the same, you know, like the same fun, the same.
So what do you guys cover on your show?
So it's a lifestyle show. Okay. But again, it's part of the sales department. So we will do basically anything and everything that's happening in Maryland. So hot spots, tips, tricks. During the day, you know, it's an afternoon, it's at noon. So you've got mommies who are watching a lot. You've got older people who are watching a lot. So anything that really meets our demographic, you know, we will do tours of wineries or, you know, new distilleries or what have you. But in addition to that, people in the area, local businesses, so it might be a salon or a boutique or a flooring guy, they can buy time on our show. And then I interview them in a way that really lets them shine, you know, where it's not something that's like boring. Oh, we're going to talk about flooring. But how does it actually apply to our audience's lives? You know, like there are things that you have to think about in the wintertime as opposed to the summertime. And I like it. For me, it's a challenge because I've got to interview them in a way that really lets them shine. And it's very fulfilling to me that after I do the interview, they're like, wow, that was really good. Or I was really nervous, or I didn't know how to make this interesting and you helped me. And I love personally, especially after working with Yelp for so long, I have a really big heart for local businesses. Mm-hmm. Local business owners, they put it all out there.
So how did Yelp, you know, cause you say it really helped you With this new job,
yeah,
right? And explain that a little
so
bit.
With Yelp, part of my job was teaching local businesses how to use the site, and they had a whole bunch of like free suite of business tools, so you can sort of see the analytics about who's visiting your Yelp page and what they're looking for and if they're placing orders or what have you. And then I would also work with them to host sort of business showcases for our most active contributors on the site, which were the Yelp elites. So I would have to plan an event that would make them really, really pop. So like Jebby's Entertainment Museum is a pop culture museum. And so I came up with an event that was like a Yelpicon, like Comic-Con type thing, and had like sort of a taste of Baltimore, whatever, mm-hmm. 25 different food vendors and 1,000 people and what have you. But what I liked about that is that, and to this day, even on Midday Maryland Now, I've had some of these businesses come on the show where I've known them for years and years when they were really small. And
how they've grown.
How they've grown and how nice. They were able to leverage Yelp and now leverage their, you know, their media in a different way. So even with the show, you know, I'm wearing local designers and I'm working with local boutiques.
So you guys hear that? Let's plug that. If local designers
if you're interested,
want to.
Let me know. Hit me up. I am Elsa M on Instagram. Instagram, Twitter.
Hey, I'm gonna get you to
Facebook.
Wear some Shop TP the Man.
There you go. But I don't know if I can be that blatant with it. I don't know. But like my hairstylist, Yasmin Young, Diaspora Salon, is amazing. But you know, I worked out with her because I was like, people need to know that, you know, and it helps me out because I mean, I want to look fly on TV, so that helps. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you know, that crawl at the end of the show is like, you know, that's local. So not only are people seeing that, but they will see it and go mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, like, oh, I wish or whatever. And if they don't go, they can buy it online too. So, there
you go. you know, as I said, we try to do these, interview these dynamic women and talk about your careers and what you, you know, did to get to where you are. Mm-hmm. What is your advice for someone who, you know, TV has changed, radio has changed. Right. Mm-hmm. And what it would be your advice if someone who is a college student
yeah.
taking communications, broadcasting, journalism, what should they do if
yeah.
they want to, you know, do they do the social media, they start their own thing? I mean, I always tell people, you know, I'm always a big advocate of create your own fan base.
Yep.
Right. Create yep. your own fan base. You have the tools that you could create your own fan base and then you use that as a leverage to yep. get in the door for wherever
yep.
you want to go.
Now
into.
More than ever.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't when I started out 2003, you know, I'm dating myself, but that was not, that wasn't really there,
yeah,
you know,
that
not
option.
To the
yep.
same level. It was just sort of like starting up.
Yeah.
So yes, create your own, be willing to, do anything within reason. You know, like for me, my first job was, you know, carrying a camera as well as shooting and editing and putting the camera on the tripod and coming around and reporting. I never thought I'd do that again, but I have to do a little bit of that with this show because there's just the three of us. It's me, my co-host, and my producer. So I had this thing like, I'm never doing that again. But the minute they give you your own show, you're like, yeah, you know what? I could do that again. I think that's all right. So you have to, you know, really know yourself. And in knowing yourself, also know what you won't do. Like, for real, for real. Like, obviously, I will carry a camera again. That's okay. But what I won't do is I will not go back to TV news. For me, when I went into TV news, and I was good at it, so it's not even a question of capability as of want. Mm. I was really depressed at the end. Mm. Like, I was covering fires and murders mm. and toddlers getting
yeah,
shot.
Really fit
and
your personality.
Like, all the time. Like,
so
I couldn't.
Bubbly, yeah.
yeah, and I was like, I could do it and then I come home and I couldn't really shake that off. And now as a wife and mom, there's no way. I know. I couldn't like come home and cover, you know, something about a kid getting shot and then look at my daughter. Like I cannot. Like
and
I'm not built that way.
You know what the craziest part to me was? They would expect you to knock on the door of the mother's
oh,
house
yeah.
and
I
say,
this my whole
I know your 7-year-old was killed 5 minutes ago, but can we talk about
yeah.
it? No.
Yeah.
So I said, if you
but I would
so,
have to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you have the stomach for that, then
no.
that's
your thing.
Yeah, that's
so
your thing,
and how
right?
I would do that, that was one of the toughest things. But the way that I did it is I would tell them, and you know, I say, I know this is a difficult time, and if you don't want to talk to me right now, I will leave. But what I don't want is for the news to say, you know, a 7-year-old boy. I want them to know who he was, what mm-hmm. his name was, what he liked, mm-hmm. and I want that to come from you. If you're willing to talk to me, I'll talk to you right now. If you don't want to talk, I totally understand. And when I would say that, then more times than not, they would want to. Mm-hmm. And I also felt like I wasn't being disrespectful to the situation. Now, I'd much rather not knock on the door at all, but that was my job. But mm-hmm. now it's not my job, and I ain't doing it again. Like, I will get out of the business the same way that I did. That's mm-hmm. why I got out for 7 years, you know, because I had other opportunities to get back in. I was like, I can't.
Okay, so number three, you said that this was...
So know what you're going to do, mm-hmm. what you will do, what mm-hmm. you won't do, mm-hmm. and don't forget about it. So it was 7 years outside of the business. I could have forgotten about it because I had a very successful career paying me more outside of this business, but it was nagging at me. So if there's something that's nagging at you, you know, network, meet people, and don't network in the cheesy, let me talk about networking real quick. People like to network in a way that's sort of like, what can you do for me? Mm. When I met Sanjay, I could do nothing for Sanjay. Sanjay was the one, right? I mean, I was big in Rochester, but I wasn't in Rochester. You know, I was in Baltimore now. But she was so genuine, you know, and that is how you meet people, where it's like a very genuine connection. And I remember that. And it was, and then later on, it was like, oh, she knows this person and this person, this person. But I just genuinely liked her. Mm-hmm. That's how you have to network. I feel like a lot of times, especially when, I guess it doesn't even tap out when you're, I was gonna say young people, but no, old people do it too. It's sort of like, hey, who are you? You know what I do? I do such and such. Like, that's not, no, that's not just networking. Be real.
It's not organic.
It's not, yeah. So get out there. And then, you know, reach out to people. I had last week two people, and they're young in the business, just reach out to me on Instagram and didn't expect me to respond back. And they're like, yeah, can we talk? I'm like, sure. What about Saturday at 3? They're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You responded. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I said our last guest talked about that. She, she said that, you know, the whole thing with Instagram is that you meet new people.
The point of social media is to be social.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you just never know. I mean, Jeff and I sort of met like that. We met at an NABJ years ago and we stayed in touch. And then now it's like I'm friends with him and his wife and we had this whole show together. Like, I didn't know that. I mean, he was the big fish. I was just, you know, the local TV reporter, you know. So, the, you know, shoot big. And then you land a Sanjay.
Have to point that.
Right? But I'm so proud of you. I am happy for what you have accomplished. What are your next plans? I know this just started, but what do you foresee like in the future?
Oh, Sanjay. It's funny because I feel like, you know, you don't want to tell people your goals, mm-hmm. but I also don't have a filter, so I just be talking.
You got to claim it.
No, so I'm 36. I'll be 37 this year. By 40, I want to see what's going to happen. I think it's going to be one of two things that's going to happen. It'll either be like staying in this area and maybe market jump to DC so I can get some more coins because mm-hmm. I like coins. I mm-hmm. like coins very much. but I also feel like there's been two junctures in my life that LA should have happened and I didn't do it. And I think that might be the next move. That's good. We'll see.
So your husband and child uprooted and
they all up in there. Sunglasses ready. But my husband, I mean, he's a personal trainer, nutritionist.
Yeah.
He already lived in LA once.
He has the flexibility.
Yes.
So.
And he manages, I'm going to do shameless plug here now. He manages IDK, formerly JIDK, who's a rapper, DMV based. But he is also in LA. You guys need to be paying attention on September 22nd on Adult Swim because his new single is dropping and you guys can see the video. Anyway, shameless plug. But anyway, I think it would make sense for us. But I don't know. Anything can happen in 3 years. I might just be at this station and be like, you know what? I really, really like it. I don't say what I'm going to do. I have ideas of what I think I should do, but I'm open to that changing. You know what I mean? If I am here and I'm like, you know what? I just really love it. And I could be a legacy person in Baltimore. Why not? Be that person when you cash out 30 years later and they're like, they do big tributes to me. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, or you could be like Oprah.
That's what I'm saying.
Come and go.
I'll be Oprah all day. I told you, I get all Oprah's coins. That's great too.
Well, so. I mean, thank you, Elsa, for joining us. I mean, I said,
hopefully, I didn't talk too much.
No, I think you were very.
You can't get a broadcaster on the mic and tell them they're like,
we love Elsa and all her talking. We love it.
I think you were very informative and gave some really great advice.
I gave you all my business.
All your business.
All my business. You didn't have to pry.
And it was helpful business, though. So it was good.
Yeah, it was from love to career to where, I mean, you know, you dropped some jewels there for some people.
My husband and I have talked very openly about waiting, so I didn't give away anything. He's not going to listen to this and be like, why y'all tell him? we did HUR a couple years ago, and I remember they didn't know we were going to say that, and the conversation just went left. They were like, what?
Well, you saw my face. So I was like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, we made up for it. We made up for it.
Good stuff. Well, once again, share your...
Oh, yes. So Instagram and Twitter. Twitter, I'm sort of slacking. Instagram is I am Elsa M. So E-L-S-A-M. I am Elsa M. And then on Facebook, if you just type in Elsa M, you'll see the like page. Please like my like page.
And I just want to remind everyone that Elsa does have a whole article that we wrote up on her on tpthemag.com.
Thank you.
So if you want to know more about Elsa or see pictures of her, you can head over to the site and she's there as our WCW.
Thank you. And I am good at responding. So if you guys tweet me, well, you can tweet me. I've been bad on Twitter lately. I got to set my game up.
Yeah, me too.
But Instagram for sure. Don't be sliding in my DMs too much, but you can.
P, Chris, what you taking us out with?
Rake it up.
Hey! I can get with that now.
DJ P, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, this strip club anthem, nigga. What's up?
Young Money.
Yeah. Me and Mike Will pull up the AOD back to back. Them AMG 63s. I tell all my hoes, rake it up. Break it down. Bag it up.